above the green mountain, the sun was declining. Beneath the blue sea, as I strayed with my love through the pure crystal fountain that stands in the beautiful bed of Charlie. She was lovely and fair, like the rose in the summer, yet it was not alone that won me. Oh no, was the truth in her eyes ever dawning that made me love Mary, the Rose of Folly? The cool shades of wedding, and Mary, all smiling, stood listening to me. The moon through the valley her pale rays were shedding, when I won the heart of the Rose of Folly. She was that made me love Mary, the Rose of Trolley.
Yes, good evening, listeners, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling. And that was the Rose of Tralee. And I thought on the night that's in it, we'd start off by playing that particular song and congratulate Jennifer Byrne, 24-year-old junior doctor working in Galway Hospital, the Offaly Rose, who won the International Rose of Tralee last night, the first time ever an Offaly girl has won it. So congratulations to Jennifer, and indeed all the other roses, including the New Zealand Rose, who sadly lost her voice when she was singing on stage during the week. But I don't think it took away from the excitement and the joy that all the contestants had that came all from all over the world. So still a very popular event, the Rose of Tralee. And Tralee is a stronghold of Kerry football, but they're going to have to do it all again against Mayo on Saturday, because the All-Ireland semi-final ended up in a draw last Sunday. Nearly a full out packed out Croke Park, and it'll be packed again on Saturday and on Sunday when the second football semi-final takes place between Dublin and Tyrone. More about that and lots of other news later, but to recap, you're listening to Ireland Calling, broadcasting here on broadcasting out of the Planet FM studio in Auckland, Access Radio Wellington, and Plains FM in Christchurch. And greetings to people listening on planetaudio.org.nz. Yes, that's the Dublin Irish Tenors, and they're coming to New Zealand later in the year. You can get tickets at the usual ticket outlets, and if you're interested, got some free tickets for the shows in Auckland, Wellington and Christchurch. You can just write to me, Oliver Lee, P.O. Box 331667, Takapuna. And the first envelopes I get in, I think I've got two tickets for each of the shows. We will, what do you call it, announce the winners in a few weeks' time. But the shows start in New Zealand in November. Plenty of time to get tickets under the 12th of November. The tour starts in Auckland and it goes through until the 25th, taking in places Tauranga, Dunedin, Invercargill, Wellington, Christchurch, New Plymouth and Palmerston North. All right, welcome along. If you've tuned in, you're listening to Ireland Calling and the headline in the Irish Independent on Wednesday. Main headline, now nursing homes charging for mass. Outrage over the latest fee for the elderly. Some residents pay €20 for a religious service and the Minister for Health is to investigate costs. The other headline, that means for residents that want to go to mass in nursing homes, that's what they've been asked to pay. The nursing homes are obviously charging them for the service, which is pretty ridiculous when you think about it. Lovely picture of a young bulldog meeting, talking to, or looking at Olivia Irvine in Belfast at the Killarney and District Canine All Breeding Championships in Killarney yesterday. And on Monday, the Central Applications Office came up with the first round of offers to students that got the Leaving Cert results last week to go and study at universities. And another headline in the paper here says a quarter of students will be broke once rent is paid. More than a quarter of college students will be broke once their rent is paid this year, according to the Union of Students in Ireland. A recent survey conducted found 29% of third level students do not have income exceeding €500 a month, even though 58% of students expect to pay between €251 and €500 a month for accommodation costs. So certainly people very happy on Monday if they were given their places, but if you're going to study in Dublin and can't get student accommodation, it's there's a chronic of apartments and flats to rent. And I was listening to the debate on the radio last night. There's just not enough houses. There need to be about 16,000 to 20,000 new homes a year built in Dublin to meet the demand. And it's not anything like that at the moment. So similar problems as we have here in New Zealand. All right, we're the Rose Tralee. This time we'll go off, give me an Irish girl to me. A couple of...
My name is Pat O'Connor, from England here I came, and I've just come o'er among you to learn my proper name. I left the girls behind me, they were so tall and free. Give an Irish girl to me. For M it stands for Mary, and J it stands for John, and B it stands for Paddy's Land, the land where I was born, and S it stands for Shamrocks, as plain as you can see. I took a trip to Germany, it was just the other day, to see some of those smiling girls I heard the people say. But they had not that smiling face, only then could I agree. So I told them, keep their German girls, give an Irish girl to me. Now to confess. J stands for John, and B stands for Paddy Land, the land where I was born. And S, it stands for Shamrock Spring, as plain as you can see. But of all the girls throughout this world, give an Irish girl to me.
Yes, give an Irish girl to me, and there'll be big demand for the Irish girl that won the Rose of Tralee competition in Tralee in County Kerry last night. Jennifer Byrne from Offaly, congratulations again to her. Not a good night or day yesterday for the other Irish girls involved at the top level of sport. The Irish rugby team were in a playoff for 5th and 6th against Australia, but were well beaten. The final score, they only lost by 12 points, but they scored 2 tries in the last few minutes, and former Irish men's coach Eddie O'Sullivan said this is a terrible loss, a disaster. He said, you know, a game we went in with high hopes of winning, we were kind of circling the wagons, we just got beaten out the gate here. So good news for New Zealand, they beat America, and they play England, the current world champions in women's rugby, on Sunday, the final taking place at Kingspan Stadium in Belfast. But overall, I think the tournament, there was you know, good support for it. Games played between Dublin and Belfast. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, he is in Canada for a 3-day visit. And on Sunday, he and his partner, who's working away, working for a year in Chicago, joined the gay parade. And I see where on Monday radio broadcaster George Hook had a go at him, saying, you know, it'd be more important for him to go on the social housing parades rather than gay parades in Dublin and Belfast and obviously Montreal. But he was wondering what the Taoiseach was doing officially. He's probably on holidays, but anyway, he was over there working, and at the invitation of the gay organisation in Canada, he walked in the parade. And not sure Charlie Haughey would have done that 30 or 40 years ago when he was in power, but Varadkar is his own man, and of course they'll be coming back. The politicians have another month off, but he'll be back in the country tomorrow, and he wanted to have a look at how things are shaping up between how the border works between America and Canada, because this is going to have huge implications for the Republic of Ireland with the advent of Brexit. Everybody's saying they don't want a hard border, but how do you put a customs border or all that stuff together? So there's plenty of work to be done. Brexit is certainly dominating a lot of the news. There was calls earlier this week for Sinn Féin, from Sinn Féin, to try to, on the British and Irish governments, to try to get the Northern Ireland executive up and running. So there'll be another move to try to get that happening. The unionists in Northern Ireland, the Democratic Unionist Party, of course, their 10 seats are keeping the British government in power. It'll be interesting to see if they'll be putting pressure on the British government to try to force concessions from Sinn Féin. But I see where Sean Donlan, a former ambassador to the United States and very involved in the peace process in Northern Ireland, he's basically saying to Sinn Féin, now is the time to forget about the past, look to the future, and really, you know, stop making big issues out of small things, including, you know, the stumbling block that could have fallen last year was the introduction, you know, of funding for Irish to be taught in schools in Northern Ireland. But he called on Sinn Féin to look at the bigger picture and, you know, to move forward, because it's just been really a disaster. There's been no executive running in Northern Ireland since the end of January, and you know, the place seems to run all right without them. So if there's no agreement, it'll be back to direct rule from London, and nobody wants that. All right, let's take a little bit of traditional music. Beautiful music there, Altan and a couple of reels and jigs. And if you're tuned in, welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with support of the Hugh Green Group, broadcasting here out of Auckland on a Wednesday night. Greetings to people listening in Wellington, Kapiti Coast and Christchurch on Saturday night, and greetings to people listening around the world and around the country on planetaudio.org.nz. Well, there's two big games in Croke Park this weekend, the replay of the All-Ireland final and Dublin, after both teams ended up in a draw, played in front of almost a full Croke Park on Sunday in terrible conditions. But Mayo certainly looked like to be heading to the All-Ireland final at one stage, but Kerry came back and were leading literally 3 minutes into injury time, or 2 minutes into injury time, when Mayo levelled. So it'll be back again, and I'm sure the financial men at Croke Park will be very happy, because they'll get 60,000 in Croke Park on Saturday, and Croke Park is sold out for that Tyrone Dublin other semi-final on Sunday, and that might even end up in a draw and another replay. But certainly that'll be the big focus in Ireland, but Irish people in Ireland and around the world, including from here in New Zealand, will be watching what's happening in Las Vegas on Saturday night, when Conor McGregor, this mixed martial arts fighter from Crumlin in Dublin, takes on undefeated boxing champion Floyd Mayweather in what's regarded as one of the biggest boxing events ever to take place. It's reported that both fighters could pocket as much as $100 million US dollars each for fighting. Of course, McGregor has no history in boxing. Mayweather has 49 fights undefeated, and everybody thinks that he'll win. So I've no doubt everybody will be paying the $39.99 here in New Zealand that is Sky Television, or some Irish people will anyways, to watch the fight. It's all hype. And for a man that basically left school early and had started an apprenticeship in plumbing, was broke about 5 years ago, to be fight for the biggest purse in sports this weekend is some achievement. Right, we continue on with more music, and be back after this.
Clahem and Cheltenham and Lourdes and the Burdick Junction, the trip to Mingingoria, a rub of the extra motion. Good people, Clancropatrick, with serenity on their faces. But Ruby Walsh, she saved me life below at the Galway races. Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she go. The favour, she'll take some bedding, necks are craned and eyes are strained, there's fear upon the faces, there's agony and ecstasy below at the Galway races. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. It's there you'll see gentility, and she dressed up like mutton, there's double barreled names with more ears than normal logins. The talk is all of tillage, of silage and connacker, I fancy Tracy bigger in the saddle and enclosure. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. Sir John McSavage's mind is there with Smurfits and O'Reilly's, the owners and the trainers and the stable boys and jockeys, with silk around their arses, getting up on Richmond's horses, the dimension waves and daughters and marriages and divorces. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. There's Celtic helicopters, land bank speculators, builders and developers, crocodiles and alligators, soldiers of destiny, they're in the feet and frenzy, the miser at the Lamb of God, and come back from the gravy. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. Thursday is the ladies' day, and the women all look smashing, they're lashing on the lipstick full of Tracy's all the fashion. You can see the liposuction, the Botox tension, Brazilian haircuts, colonic irrigation. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. And everyone's out to Salt Hill for the crank and from the porter. There's monkeys laying on us and two flies walking up the wall. There's folk and trash. started their disco and karaoke and said dances. While some of us who've spent their days were looking to take our chances. Hey Ruby, hold her back, give her the crack and up she'll go. When galloping down the back stair, he has her in the canter. A look at her lip, the jumps begun, she's like a ballet dancer. Well, over the last she hits the front and nothing has gone to pass her. When you're all right, it's up till there. Follow me up to Tarlo. Hey, Ruby, hand her back. Give her the crack and up she go. Hey, Ruby, hold her back. Give her the crack and up she go.
Judge said, stand up, lad, and dry up your tears. You're sentenced to Dartmoor for 21 years. So dry up your tears, babe, and kiss me goodbye. The best friends must part, babe, so must you and I. I hear the train coming, we'll be here at 9. You take me to Dartmoor to serve up my time. I look down the railway and plainly I see you're standing there waving your goodbye to me. Gone by, babe, I heard dead. This cold, dreary dungeon and stone for my bed. It's raining, tis hailing, the moon gets no light. Now will you tell me, babe, why you never write? I've counted the days, babe, I've counted the nights. I've counted the footsteps, I've counted the light. I've counted the raindrops, I've counted the stars. I've counted a million of these prison bars. Waited, I trusted, I longed for the day. A lifetime so lonely, now my hair is turning gray. All my thoughts are for you, babe, till I'm out of my mind. For 21 years is a mighty long time. For 21 years is a mighty long time.
Yes, 21 years is a mighty long time. It's a long time since I heard that song. And it's almost half an hour gone of the programme Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And while those songs, Christy singing about Walsh, what do you call it, Ruby, and 21 years. I've just been reading more about this terrible problem facing students that want to study, not alone in Dublin, but in Galway, Cork and Limerick. There's just a huge shortage of affordable accommodation. And there was a debate on, or discussion last night on RTE radio about it. And, you know, one person was talking about already overcrowded flat with eight people in it. And the landlord or students, I don't know, somebody put a makeshift bed in the living room over a couch, you know, like a bunk bed type thing. You know, and the cost of that was about €250 for a month. So basically very, very hard for students. There's a story here about a father from Cork who's lost €1,500 because he's two daughters at university in Dublin and they couldn't afford the €8,000 in hostel accommodation at the university. So he thought it'd be better to get a flat for the two of them, and looked on Facebook and a website and found a flat and paid a deposit, then to be told that the place was double booked, and to secure it he'd need to pay another 4 months' rent. But he paid two, and after making all these payments he discovered he was scammed and somebody has skedaddled off with €1,500. So terrible to see that things like this are happening. Although there was one good story yesterday where a young single mother who's also a teacher, and she lives with her young daughter who's about 6 or 7 in Drumcondra, and she took in a student last year and it worked well, so she's converted a garage into a kind of a twin room, and she'll take in two students this year. They can have their own independence and come and go what they like, and the fee per month will include bed and breakfast and an evening meal. So there'll be more and more people doing that. Some of the universities are calling on people that have spare rooms in their houses to rent them out, and of course there was a big call last year, by the government to say if you have a large house and you no longer need it, maybe it's time to downsize and sell that, and hopefully do something to ease the terrible shortage of accommodation. And of course we're talking here about students, but there's about 6,000 people homeless in Ireland, all over the country now, and the government needs to do something. The debate last night said they're doing their best, but unfortunately it's just taken a lot longer than many people expect.
Here in Glasgow, I've got a decent job, carrying bricks and mortar, and my pay is £15. Rise up in the morning, I get up with the lad. When I'm going down the street, can hear the girls be mad. No, Patsy Fagan, you can hear the girls all cry. No, Patsy Fagan, you're the apple of my eye. Asian boy from Ireland, that no one can deny. Scare 'em, give 'em a care, 'em decent Irish pie. The day that I left Ireland, it's many years ago. Let my home and anthem where the pigs and patties grow. Since I left old Ireland, it's always been my plan. Let the people know that I'm a decent Irish man. No, Patsy Fagan, you can hear the girls all cry. No, Patsy Fagan, you're the apple of the eye. Decent boy from Ireland that no one can deny. Hear 'em, scare 'em, devil may care 'em, decent Irish pie. And if there's one among you who'd like to marry me, take her to her little home across the Irish Sea. Dress her up in satin and I please her all I can. Let the people know I'm a decent Irish man. Oh, Patsy Fagan, you can hear the girls all cry. Oh, Patsy Fagan, you're the apple of the eye. Decent boy from Ireland that no one can deny. Hear 'em, scare 'em, devil may care 'em. Irish pie.
you, I was really it. I just wanna be with you.
Yes, that's the Cranberries there, and Linger, and I hope you're lingering along here, listening to Ireland Calling on a Wednesday night, broadcasting out of Planet FM studio in Auckland. What lovely weather we're having here at the moment, so wherever you're listening, or indeed around the world, I hope you're enjoying the programme brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group, and certainly the weather in Ireland has been a bit mixed over the last few days, a lot of rain over the last few days, and the days are getting a little bit shorter and they're a little bit longer here, and a bit warmer. And once we get to the middle of September and daylight saving starts, it obviously, you know, we can feel a touch of summer coming our way then. As I mentioned earlier, two big games at Croke Park this weekend, a replay of the Kerry versus Mayo match on Sunday, and that drew last Sunday, and a great performance all around. Everybody really plays to both teams. Stephen Rochford caused a bit of a surprise. It didn't backfire like the surprise he did last year in the All-Ireland final replay when he changed the goalkeeper, but he did change, put one of their superstar players, Aidan O'Shea, in at full-back. I don't think he's played there before, to mark Kieran Doheny, who's equally a big 6'6" player, and it kind of partly worked, you know, insofar as Doheny himself only scored 2 points, but he was involved in the scoring of 2 goals and 4 points. Watch the game on the Sunday game, and don't forget the special packages available now for the last few matches on gaago.ie. So if you haven't signed up, you can go in for a special package to watch the two semi-finals, and of course the hurling final the following week between Waterford and Galway, and then the football final. And it's great if you have a computer, iPad, even iPhone, if you want to watch it in small picture, you can watch it as clear as watching the game if you were back home in Galway or Mayo or Cork or Donegal or Dublin or anywhere else around the country. But anyway, the game, both teams played their hearts out, and a probably fair result was a draw. Mayo have played, I think, 8 championship matches already this year. Kerry have only played about 3. So will the toll of all the games have its effect on Mayo? We'll just have to wait and see. I think it's probably even Stevens going into the game this weekend, and Dublin Tyrone, everybody thinks that Dublin will win that, but Tyrone, certainly they're the form team in Ulster, and I see where one of the players who's making a name for himself down under, that's Conor McKenna. He walked away from a promising career with Tyrone to play Australian rules football for Essendon, and he's doing really well down there. He's 21 year old now, and this is his make or break year, and so he's doing really well. And other Irish players that did very well playing Australian rules, we'll all remember the late Jim Steins, who played 264 games for the AFL, an outstanding person away from the sports field as well. But sadly, Jim was diagnosed with cancer, and after a long battle, died about 4 or 5 years ago. And another player that played with him during his time at Melbourne was Sean White. Sean was, I think he had Kerry connections. Then Ty Kennealy from Kerry, he played 197 games and won a championship with the Swans. Indeed, Sean White was from Kerry, played 150 games with Melbourne. Then there was Pierce Hanley. He played with the Brisbane Lions and Gold Coast, originally from Mayo, over 140 games. And he's still playing. And then there's a man from Leash, Zach Toohey. He's with Carlton, played 141 games. And of course, Satantha O'Halpin, another former great Cork player, won an All-Ireland Middle Hurling with Cork. He played over 80 games with Carlton. So certainly anybody that had made the move down there have done quite well. And obviously you're getting paid as well for playing something that you love. All right, let's go on with some more music here. And I'll press a button here to see what we've got lined up. We've got Brendan Shine, and he's singing all about the boys from the county Armagh.
There's one fair county in Ireland with a memory so glorious and grand, where nature has lavished its bounty. It's the orchard of Erin's green land. I love its cathedrals and cities, once founded by Patrick so true, and it bears in the heart of its bosom the ashes of Brian Boru. It's my own Irish home, far across the foam. Although I've often left it in foreign lands to roam, no matter where I wander, through cities near or far, the county of Armagh. I've travelled the heart of the county, through Newtown, Forkilcross, McGlen, around by the gap of Mount Norris, and home by Blackwater again, where the girls are so gay and so hearty, none fairer in Erin go bragh. Ah, but where are the boys that can court them like the boys from the county Armagh? It's my own Irish home, far across the foam. Although I've often left you lands to roam, no matter where I wander, through cities near or far, share my heart in the tome in old Ireland, in the county of Armagh. It's my own Irish home, far across the foam. Although I've often left it in foreign lands to roam, no matter where I wander, through cities near or far, share my heart is at home in old Ireland, in the county of Armagh.
Beautiful Illan pipe music there, and if you've tuned in, you've missed almost the full programme of Ireland Calling. Greetings wherever you're listening. Oliver Lee here with you on Auckland Planet FM on a Wednesday night, and our delayed broadcasts in Wellington on Saturday nights, and greetings to people listening around New Zealand and around the globe. I suppose the main headlines out of Ireland this last few days has been the big focus has been on places offered to students that did the Leaving Cert in third level tertiary institutions, and now there is a huge big issue over accommodation in these cities. And of course a lot of students, a lot of the student doctors, as soon as they qualify they head off overseas, many to Australia and a few to New Zealand. And there was an interesting programme on Radio last week on the farming programme. Damien O'Reilly was talking to about the need for large animal vets to work in rural parts of the country, both in New Zealand or both in Ireland. And there was a bit of a story about the Australian vet that couldn't get the residency. That's what brought the whole story on. And there's a huge demand for large animal vets in parts of Australia. But the problem is that young veterinary students, when they leave the rural parts of the country to go and study, whether it's in Ireland or in Australia, end up deciding that it's a better life being a small animal vet working and living in the city. So there's a big shortage of vets in Ireland at the moment. And of course, it's regulated. There's only about 90 or 100 vets can train every year. But I remember a few years ago when I was at home around this time, there was talk of all the young people that didn't get into the veterinary schools in Ireland were going to Hungary to train as vets. And they could travel over there and come home three times a year. And still, it was a lot cheaper than studying at University College in Dublin and paying the big college fees. And the qualifications out of Hungary was on par with what you get out of Ireland. But from a student's point of view, it's great that they've got the results they wanted and the points, and to get the courses this year, the point system was a little bit lower for a lot of the subjects, so most of the people got their first choice applications. And of the 56,000 people that did the Leaving Cert, about 52,000 were offered places, which is a bit alarming when you think about it, that there was only so few people that's planning to go on and to do a trade. This week in New Zealand, we've got that week happening, and it's just encouraging more people to consider working and training and doing an apprenticeship in carpentry, plumbing, electrical work, and many other jobs as well, because you can make good money these days being a gifted tradesman. And if you've got a few business papers thrown in as well, you can start your own business before too long. Whereas and you're basically earning as you're training, unlike when you go to university, especially if you travel away. It is expensive, roughly, you know, if you're studying in Wellington or Christchurch, living there as well. There's not much change out of $12,000, $15,000 a year when you add in accommodation and course fees. So the student loans are there, but they're free while people are studying, but they have to be paid back eventually. So it's a catch-22 situation. And compared to when I did the Leaving Cert back in 1979, more people just went off and got a job. There was plenty of jobs available then. And some people, as I mentioned last week, ended up going farming. And a few went to university, but certainly a lot more heading to university now. Well, that's about it for another week. Hopefully you've enjoyed the programme, and thanks again to the Hugh Green Group for their continued support, and good luck to Mayo and Kerry and Tyrone and Dublin this weekend. And next week I'll see, can I track down somebody in the build-up to the All-Ireland Hurling Final. We normally have a chat to Cyril Farrell, so I might talk to him, former Galway Hurling manager, and he was manager the last time they won back in 1988. From me, good night, goodbye, and God bless, and I'll leave you with a couple of waltzes.